Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Is that working?
It is.
All
welcome
right,
back.
Just had to make sure there.
Oh, yeah. Still got to press the button.
This is all new to me. I've been in the building in a week. Good morning, everybody. Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ravi. Good to see you guys not through a computer screen.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. I'm listening. So I'm wondering how many people have gone back and listened to Matt Rhule from Monday. There's probably quite a few people that have said, you know what? Let me give it a second listen.
I would imagine, yeah.
Because people got fully hussed. He hit all the right notes. But I compare Monday in Lincoln to yesterday in Auburn, Alabama. Whatever happens with Matt Rhule from here on out, whoever he hires or doesn't hire, or how many games he wins or doesn't win, geez, it is nice to have an adult as a football coach compared to what they hired at Auburn and that presser yesterday from Hugh Freeze. I mean, that if that's a small takeaway from Monday, still talking about it on a Wednesday,
yeah,
just feel good that Nebraska hired an adult.
Which is what you wanted, Robbie, an adult.
No, that's exactly what I wanted. And I it's nice to have a head coach that you can trust with their own social media accounts. That's nice. You see, that was part of the contract?
Yeah, and then he denied it. And then he went after Ole Miss, not Lane Kiffin by name, and social media entered the picture, and Lane Kiffin's social media entered the picture. And he tied Hugh Freeze up in a body bag.
Yeah, no.
Great start. Welcome back to the SEC.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin's Yeah, Lane Kiffin's social media game, as we've seen both with the reports last week that tied him to Auburn, and then this week with Hugh Freeze, is unmatched, I think, in the coaching world. He's got that thing on lockdown. So I would not come after Lane Kiffin, because he will make it ugly for you.
You don't want that
and
smoke.
Does not care. Like, he, a lot of SEC coaches, I think, would kind of like quietly fume about something like that. Lane's going straight to Twitter. That's who Lane Kiffin is.
Twitter's quite an interesting place right now.
It is.
Whether the guy that owns it and runs it, or the people that are on Twitter that are screenshotting or blocking people or muting people, and one of those comes up on our show at 9 today as his weekly segment. Scott Shanley will stop by.
It's usually peaceful. It's just taking a different...
Twitter. Well, first of all, Twitter is...
Twitter's never peaceful.
Twitter's a whole different world.
No, it's cesspool.
You live in that world. If you believe in that world, then good on you.
Yeah.
It's a good information source. It's good to meet people. It's good. Sometimes it can be a good dialogue.
It can be.
Been a rough week and a half, 2 weeks. I think not only with just sports, but just in general.
You have to be real careful what parts of Twitter you engage in. You want to have any sort of peace of mind in the rest of your life.
Yeah, if you want to have, you want to wake up and you want to feel good. You don't want to wake up and just see all kinds of nonsense that's going on. I mean, I'd rather talk about Christian Pulisic's balls.
Yeah, if he's got both of them still, hard to tell.
Well,
as
we welcome you in on a Wednesday, I wonder this. So we don't spend a lot of time talking about soccer.
We do not.
Really, the only mentions we've had of soccer is the great run that Creighton Men's Soccer is on now to the Elite Eight. They take on Duke on Saturday.
And our FanDuel spots that we had.
Yeah. I mean, you want to gamble on the Dutch in the U.S.? Go to FanDuel, baby. But I say this all the time. So I played soccer for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play defense. Okay.
Okay.
I was a fat kid running around, so they didn't put me up front.
You weren't a striker.
I don't have anything against soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever really sat down and watched an entire match.
Oh, really?
But I would go, and I'm more prone, if I'm going to watch soccer, I'm going to go in person than I would on TV.
Sure.
But every time that the World Cup is on, and I haven't had anything to do for, 8 years, is when the U.S. is in the World Cup, I become more engaged, not just in the U.S., but in the World Cup. And so what happened yesterday, I want to thank the soccer fan out there, because I feel like soccer fans, even during people like myself who admittedly say, I'm just a World Cup fan,
mm-hmm.
will say, that's okay. You know, instead of shunning me and saying, no, where were you when, Sporting KC made a run or anything like that? Or where are you on Saturday mornings watching the Premier League? They'll say, great to have you. The more the merrier. Red, white, and blue. So I'm okay with that, because I think I'm not alone, that there are a lot more people there that when you put on the red, white, and blue and you play on that stage and people take cracks at your country and your players, that you're going to stand up and you're going to go, what? Guts and glory. Let's go at it. And now we have a soccer god in Christian Pulisic, who will always be known as the testicle pain game with the goal. I mean, I was engaged yesterday. I was fired up. I was excited, and I wondered, what if the U.S. was ever good in soccer where just making the knockout stage in the World Cup would not be, whew, mission accomplished. It would be like, ah, that's a given. Now we got to worry about round of 16, round of 8. Can we go any further than that? What if this country was good in soccer?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would see the same type of enthusiasm that you do for a lot of the Olympic sports that the United States is good in that don't get a ton of run the rest of the time. You know, I mean, if we've seen anything about Americans, it's that whatever we are good at, we will watch and root for. I mean, who gives a crap about the Tour de France? Lance Armstrong comes along. We start dominating. We love the Tour
de
France.
I haven't watched it with Floyd Landis.
Right?
What happened to Floyd Landis?
I believe everything was stripped of him because of positive drug tests, if I remember correctly.
Speaking of testicles, he's probably...
Yeah, a lot of... You get that a lot with cyclists. I don't wonder if there's a correlation there. But, you know, you saw it with Michael Phelps. I mean, how much do we actually care about swimming on a non-Olympic year? Michael Phelps starts dominating. We love swimming. We go to the Olympic swim trials. We do all this. You know, we find our stars with Katie Ledecky or Michael Phelps or whoever else.
When gymnastics has been dominant, same deal.
When gymnastics has been dominant, I mean, Simone Biles might have been the most famous person in the country for a while there. Like, she was, you know, all over the place, one of the best athletes in the world. We see this. We saw it with tennis in the 90s. Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras get really good. Guess what? The U.S. loves tennis. So if the U.S. gets good at soccer, I imagine there will be a full embrace of not just the World Cup. You'll get people into like the Gold Cup and Copa America, and you'll get them into some of these other tournaments, these other major tournaments around the world, or at least regionally. And like, it's not impossible, right? Like, the U.S., despite the lackluster results, and I said this last week, I think, despite the lackluster results on the World Cup stage or even qualifying for the World Cup, this is the U.S. team keeps getting more talented. Like, if you look at U.S. players that are playing in high-end leagues around the world, the U.S. team used to be like one guy from the Premier League who was on like a loan from somewhere, and then 20 guys from the MLS. That's not the case anymore. There's still a lot of MLS guys on the roster, don't get me wrong, but you've got lots of guys playing in high-level leagues across Europe. So the sport in the U.S. is getting better. We haven't had that breakthrough yet, and they don't play particularly well together. But the talent level has continued to rise. Eventually, I do think there is a breakthrough there.
And they have a legitimate god in soccer.
Yes.
And Christian Pulisic.
And doesn't the U.S. host the World Cup in 4 years? It could all time out perfectly.
Yeah, no, that's why it was important to make the World Cup this year. Not to have, I mean, the depression of not making it last time.
Right. You needed to set it up for the host. Luckily... Next time, you don't have to qualify because the host country always qualifies. Thank God. Don't have to worry about it this time.
And the stadiums around this country will be packed in 26.
Absolutely.
I mean, 94 was fun. I still remember it. I was 11 years old, and I watched all of it, and I've never been a soccer guy, but I did because you had to watch. So now think of 4 years from now, it'll be even bigger. It'll be the biggest ever.
I mean, 94 is the reason the MLS exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you didn't get the response you did from the United States in 1994, there is no Major League Soccer
in the United
States.
Pele and the New York Cosmos might disagree, and the Chicago Lightning.
I mean, that goes way back to the 80s,
that's
right?
That's way back. And that was super popular.
It was. It had a moment. Like, there's been people like to kind of poo-poo on soccer and be like, oh, it'll never be a thing in the U.S. Listen, it's never overtaking football or anything like that.
No.
But I don't know that it's crazy that it could take its place somewhere in the basketball, baseball range eventually. I mean, baseball, as you know, has become super regionalized. Basketball has a devoted but smaller segment of people who follow it. You know, there's room behind football. Like, I really think there is. It seemed like the NBA was inevitable at some point. It doesn't really seem like that's the case anymore. I know people have been saying this for 40 years at this point, that, oh, soccer's the future, soccer's the future, but listen, what's the one game everybody plays when they're a kid? Soccer. Not everybody plays basketball.
Oh,
not everybody plays baseball.
It's great for a young kid. Hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, like it's a game that everyone plays and pretty much enjoys at some point. It's not crazy to think that eventually it's something that it kind of permeates the culture to a larger degree.
And it's fun. I mean, look at all the reaction, like yesterday. And, you know, I mean, the U.S. is going to play at 9 a.m. on Saturday against the Dutch. And places will be packed again. I mean, it's great for this country. It's great for the sport. And it's great now because we have an instant American hero in Christian Pulisic, who you know, has been on the radar for a while.
Yeah.
And now is on the world's biggest stage and got his goal yesterday and, you know, had the heck of a finish and paid for it. But he may play on Saturday. I imagine that he's going to give it a go. But he has become an instant American sports hero.
His Snapchat said he's going to play. We got it straight from the hospital bed. That dude said he's going to play. I believe he'll give it a go. Obviously, the Netherlands is really, really good at soccer, and they have been for a long time.
And they're an overwhelming favorite, yeah, which is not a surprise.
It's going to be an uphill battle against the Netherlands. But I will say this. I think England is actually really good, mm-hmm, based on what we saw against Wales, what we saw against Iran, who they project to be and the guys on their roster. Because I do watch a lot of Premier League. I'm pretty into it, actually. But so there's a lot of guys on that roster that are super high-level players. And the fact that the U.S. was able to get a result from them is actually pretty impressive. So I don't, you know, maybe this is just a team getting hot at the right time. Maybe the U.S. is a little bit better than they've shown through qualifying. But I don't know how much better, and soccer people are probably going to come at me for this, I don't know how much better the Netherlands is than England at this point, based on how they're, mm-hmm, playing right now. So, listen, you get a draw with England, I don't know that it's crazy that you have a shot against the Netherlands. Like, I think it's, you know.
I just want to, I mean, we're all red, white, and blue. I mean, I got fired up. I watched that wild press conference on Monday when the Iranian media were interviewing the U.S. players.
Oh, yeah.
And they were aggressive.
They were getting after it.
I feel for the Iranian players that they got to go home.
Yeah.
People were in the streets cheering for the U.S. And now everything that went on at the World Cup with the Iranian soccer team, they got to go back to the country to face that. And they go back after being knocked out by the U.S.?
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever get to that stage of aggressiveness towards our soccer.
I hope not.
But if the U.S. was good in soccer, what would it be like? Because there will be a lot of places around the country that are good soccer communities will be packed at 9 a.m. on Saturday to watch the U.S. and the Dutch play and hope that the God in U.S. soccer, Christian Pulisic, can play. And here's part of the, I only joined during red, white, and blue. You finally have a player in that sport that people know. Just the casual walking on the street, mm-hmm, don't own a scarf, don't know much about the rules, kind of follow it a little bit. They now know a name. They might not be able to tell you about McKenzie or Adams or Dest, but they're going to be able to tell you that Christian Pulisic is the man.
Or my guy Timothy Weah, who got robbed of a goal yesterday.
That was close. That was close there on the offsides.
It was close, but I'm convinced even with the VAR, that's a bad call. I consulted with my rules expert, John Schreiner, and he said that's not offside. So I'm going to
He would know.
I'm going to defer to him.
He would know. Say, if he knows.
Hey, but it's 1-0. And we're on, man. We're on to the knockout stage against the Dutch.
That's right.
Just think of all the times that the Dutch has done us wrong.
I mean, I don't have like a long list. I'm going to be honest with you.
I mean, you went to buy wooden shoes one time, and the wood fell apart. It was bad wood.
How dare they?
I mean, we always like good wood.
Always loved good wood. Had a lot of that on Monday after the press conference, I think, around the state.
This is
perfectly teed up.
Wow, this would be a great opening segment brought to you by like one of our favorite fully Husk clinics for men's in
one of John's
town.
Endorsements.
Yes. All right, welcome.
We still have
in.
Andrew in our deal. We can pop that.
Welcome
in
everybody. 21 past the hour. Coming up, yeah, Scott Chandler's going to join us. So he's on every week at 9. Thanks for everybody that realizes that he's on every week. Like, we're just not adding him as a guest.
Yes.
That he's on every week. We don't spend, just kind of give people that are going to swipe in and listen, is we don't usually talk a lot of Nebraska football with him.
No, we talk mostly NFL.
That's an NFL segment. But
and a really good one.
But I need to know why. I need to know why.
Yeah, I think we're going to get
Matt
some
Rule,
answers there.
Why? I think I'm sifting through, like, knowing Scott like I do, and some of the things that he has tweeted, I am not blocked by him, by the way. I mean, we have cordial conversations. We have thought-provoking conversations.
Yeah. And no, I enjoy him on his football stuff.
He's entitled to his opinion. It's, you know, you come with some facts, and you can agree or disagree. But I want to know why. And I'm starting to believe that he has a beef with Trev Alberts more than anything.
That's kind of that's the vibe I've gotten. That's, yeah.
And if I we can get the why to that, then some of this stuff might start to make sense. But he'll join us coming up at 9. Brandon Vogel will stop by at 9:40. We have lots to discuss. Still the Matt Rhule hiring a couple of days later because the staff is starting to come together. And the business part of all of this is starting to hit people. The take the emotion out of it is a lot of your favorite assistants that you maybe thought would be returning are not going to be returning. There might be a couple of guys, possibly.
Hard to tell yet.
That could be returning that you were like, whoa, they had a bad 22. What's going on here? But the makeup of the staff is very intriguing. But when we come back, I've reached a point, I kind of alluded to this on Monday, it's the elephant in the room with Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for Nebraska to have a clean break with Mickey Joseph.
Okay.
It's time for a clean break between Nebraska, Mickey Joseph, and Matt Rhule.
See,
that's not a and I'm not making that a negative thing. I think it's time for a clean break between Nebraska, Mickey Joseph, Matt Rhule, and for Mickey Joseph to go somewhere else, because being an interim at Nebraska didn't help him get the Nebraska job, but it may help him get something else that helps him get back to Nebraska. But I think it's time now for a clean break between Nebraska and Mickey Joseph.
See, I thought I was going to be coming in with the hot take on Mickey Joseph.
No, today. I don't think, and Ravi, it's not a hot take. I think it's reality when you are building a staff and the situation with Mickey.
No, yeah, it's a really, there's an inherent awkwardness there because this is a guy that the team looked at as a leader and as their head coach for, I mean, almost two and a half months. And to all of a sudden be able to switch that off in your brain is really, really hard, especially the way Mickey relates to people. He's a relationship builder, much the same way that Matt Rhule is. That's really hard to just turn off in a guy's brain and say, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm loyal to this guy or I'm devoted to this guy or whatever. So I understand the point of it. What I was going to say, and I don't mean this as an insult to Mickey Joseph, it does seem like Nebraska fans might overvalue him. He's really, really good at his job, but there's people talking. But let's be clear here. He's a position coach. He's a very good at position coach. He's a very good recruiter across multiple positions sometimes. But you're talking about paying him good coordinator money to be a position coach when I wonder what his value on the open market is. He definitely has jobs on the open market. I would imagine just about anywhere he wants to go. But are we really talking about paying, are other people really talking about paying him $1.2 million to be a position coach? Because I tend to doubt that.
We'll get into that when we come back. There's a lot as the staff comes together, Nebraska recruits. The money, I wasn't here yesterday. I was coming back from the remote outpost of the SEC, Starkville, Mississippi. But I'm wondering, the money is, you know, if you want to play, you got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if some people are uncomfortable in suits that about the money that was allocated to Matt Rhule. Because I get the sense that there is a little bit of, but if it happens, it's going to be okay. $74 million, what?
You can't look at all at once. You got to look at it like by year. It feels a little better.
Yeah.
He's only getting paid $5.5 million this year.
Just close your eyes. It'll be okay.
Hey, if you want to play, you got to pay.
Yeah, this is college football now.
It's what you go to an entertainment place and they say, hey, if you want to play, you got to pay.
And this is where that Big Ten money will
like
start
Dave and Buster's,
in.
You mean?
Yeah. I mean, you just can't walk in and play for free.
No,
in
you
got to
load up the card, you get the points.
It's just this kind of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you want to play, you got to pay.
Yeah, if you want.
How many times do you get stuff for free?
Not that often.
I mean, a lot of people that.
I mean, just here, maybe.
Yeah, just the radio station where people just listen to all of our radio stations and call when they're giving away something.
That's right. We're the last free game in the biz.
Foreshadowing.
Yes, we are. We are the gift that keeps on giving. It is Gary and friends. Ravi is here today. Jimmy is well. You got the lineup. If you'd like to join the conversation, anything that has sparked an interest, if you want to talk football, soccer. We will do that. But we will get into the staff because there's another part of the Mickey Joseph thing that yesterday Matt Rhule may have hired as Mickey Joseph. We'll do all that.
Okay.
951-1620. The number to get in, as always, the lineup, which we gave to you, Scott Chanley, Brandon Vogel, brought to you by the Roofies of John Higgins Weather God. You can always email us into the Equitable Bank inbox, Gary at 1620thezone.com, or on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed at Gary Sharp 1620, at R.A. Lula, at Gary Sharp Show. We're off and running. We're back with more on a clean break after this.